you got your Bible this morning, turn over to John chapter number 21. Teach a lesson that normally I don't teach it this way. And got a couple of places I'm going to be going today. John chapter number 21. As I began to read over this, it's been on my heart as I read it that God had illuminated some words, that a phrase, one little phrase in the Bible that's only found two times. Only found two times, and it's all found in the book of John. It's found in the chapter number 20, and it's also found in chapter number 21. If you got your Bible, look in John chapter number 21 and verse number 4. It said, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Hold your place there. Turn back one other chapter. Let's look down in John chapter number 20 and verse number 14. It said, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." Now I want you to understand where Jesus is at. Jesus has went to the cross. I want you to understand the setting of this story. This was a place where the disciples, the people that was closest to God, the closest to Jesus, walked with Him hand in hand day after day, and they knew not it was Him. Then you see Mary, the very lady that anointed His feet and wiped His feet with her hair, at the grave of Jesus, she knew not that it was Jesus. And as I read over that, God illuminated that phrase, and I wonder if we're traveling through this life, and we know we think our circumstances have got us so overwhelmed that Jesus is standing right beside us, and we know not it is Him standing right beside us. A lot of times in my life, I find myself there. I find myself where my circumstances have so much overwhelmed me that on every hand, I look around and I say, "Where's God?" But in all actuality, He's standing right beside me. He knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly where you are. He knows how to take care of His children. I want us to go through, I'm going to look at both of these readings right here that we read over and take a little exhortation out of both chapters here and look at it. And I entitled it, "Knowing Not That It Was Jesus." First of all, you'll see that they knew not it was Jesus because they was in a disclosed excursion in John chapter number 21. They was in a distant excursion. They had went out. And a lot of times we find ourselves doing this. We go places and we do things and we didn't invite the Lord to go with us. That's where these disciples found themselves. They found themselves out going a fishing and they didn't invite Jesus. They was out and as they began to fish, God brought this message to me at a dentist office. In the dentist office, I was reading my Bible. My wife was having her wisdom teeth taken out. And as he began to do that, you know you had to be filled with the Holy Ghost or be of God if you're in a dentist office, you know, and they're doing surgery on your wife, you know, and they put me in a room off to my side, you know, and they said, "You can have this room." They saw me out there reading my Bible in the dentist office. They set me in a room and said, "You can have this room." And I sat there and God began to pin it down. And He said this, "Know not that it was Jesus." They find themselves, first of all, I want you to look at them, they went out alone. And I wrote this down. You'll see the independence of the disciples. The disciples left alone, but they were not unacknowledged. Look down in verse number 1 in John chapter number 21, verse number 1. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of His disciples." And here it is. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." Be careful when you say that. I tell you what Simon Peter did. He got in a distant excursion. He said, "I'm going to go a-fishing, and I don't care if Jesus comes with me or not." He said, "I'm just going to go on my own." But look at this. Not only did he say that, but look what happened right after that. It said, "We also go with thee." Be careful where you take people. Simon Peter, God illuminated that and he raised that eye in that Bible. Peter was a very independent guy. And us as men are independent guys. We're supposed to be independent. That's the way God made us. But don't ever get so independent that you leave Jesus behind. to go on your excursion. And that's what Peter did. And not only did Peter do it, he took all those other disciples with him. Don't forget, Peter was one of those close disciples. He wasn't one that was just, you know, he followed Jesus from afar. Peter was a guy that was with Jesus. He saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was the disciple that Jesus allowed to walk on the water. But then here we find him going out on his own. He was independent. He took those people with him. It said they went forth and entered into his ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Verse number 6 here. Verse 5, it says, "Then Jesus saith to them, Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." The second thing I want us to look at, not only their independence, I want you to look at their inventory. Notice the disciples answered nothing to one who had everything. They answered nothing to one who had everything. I wonder if you took an inventory in your life this morning, in your spiritual life, not talking about physical life. In your spiritual life, if you took an inventory, I wonder if you'd come up with nothing. A lot of times in my life, you know, I got saved and God has given me a foundation to build on, and how I build thereon is my choice. When I get to heaven, I want to be able to cast some crowns at Jesus' feet for what He's done to Him. I want to build on that foundation. They answered him this in verse number five. It said they answered him no. They took an inventory and they had nothing. A lot of times in our life we find ourselves toiling and we're doing everything we know to do. And I'm talking about knowing not that it was Jesus. He's right by our side. And we take an inventory and we come up with nothing. God is, as I began to study, and I've been studying the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. I've been studying about those children of Israel and how Moses was leading those children out of Egypt, and how God had, you know, had given Moses liberty to do that, and how God had moved on them, you know, and all the things that they had, you know, and God had rained down manna from heaven, you know, and given them bread, you know, from heaven, you know, and what a sight that would be, and how God had blessed them, and still they had nothing. They had nothing. You'll see them over there with famines. You'll see them over there not having anything to drink. These disciples here had nothing. The third thing in this, I see their inventory. The third thing here, I see that there was an intervention. Look, the disciples were casting in the old man's strength and not being renewed by the new man's strength. Look in verse number 6 here. "And he said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." I taught a lesson one time from this verse, and I entitled this, "What side of the boat are you fishing from?" A lot of times we find ourselves fishing from the wrong side of the boat, and all we need to do is turn over and cast on the right side. I noticed this in our life. A lot of times we find ourselves fishing from disappointment. A lot of times we find ourselves fishing from deception. I find us a lot of times fishing in discouragement. I see us a lot of times fishing in doubts. God's got a side of the ship that we're supposed to be casting on. I remember as I go fishing, I used to go fishing, I carry one rod. I fish with one rod and I just cast and I cast and I cast. And as I got older and tried to learn a few things, God, you know, a lot of times God compared our Christian life with fishing. You know, He said in Matthew, He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He gave these disciples something they could relate to. And as I began to get older and try to fish more, you know, I carried 3 or 4 rods. Why? You know why? Because of the fish, if they didn't like that bait, I got to where if I cast out there a few times, you know, and the fish didn't take it, you know, I'd swap rods in a heartbeat and try to catch fish, you know. And if they didn't catch that one, I'd put that thing down and pick up another one. And if they didn't bite anything I had, I'd be in that tackle box trying to find some more lures. You know, I was fishing, a lot of times I was even fishing from the wrong side of the boat. I always trying to fish toward the bank. I may need to fish out in the deep, you know. And God has spoken to these disciples here, and He said, "Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They was in a disclosed excursion. There was one that they went out, and they invited not the Lord. And a lot of times in our Christian walk, we find ourselves in the same situation. We know not it was Jesus because we just went out and left Him behind, and He's standing right beside us all the way. But be careful of that. I want us to look at this. The disciples were casting in the old man's strength and not being renewed by the new man's strength. Ephesians 4:24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm reminded of a verse in Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." God, as Paul was writing to this church at Rome, he was telling them that this thing with Jesus was a daily walk, and that you would have to put on Jesus each and every day of your life, and not be renewed in the old man's strength, but be renewed in the new man's strength. And I'm going to tell you which one you're going to follow between this old man and this new man. It's going to be the one you feed the most. A lot of times we find ourselves feeding that old man, and the old man loves slop. And I wonder if we're feeding the new man more than we're feeding the old man. And turn over to the book of Romans chapter number 7. I want you to see this. Paul was writing. Paul was a man just like us. He was a guy that had penned most of the New Testament. And this is what he said. So I would be very interested in a man who wrote that many books of the Bible, what he had to say about this. In Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 18. Let's get verse 17. It says, "Now then is no more than I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He was talking about this old man of the flesh that we carry around, this spiritual warfare that we're battling each and every day, this flesh that's within us. And I'm going to tell you, the one that's going to win is the one you feed the most. That's why it's important for us to stay in our Bible. That's why it's important for us to stay on our knees in prayer. That's why it's important for us to raise our family right, because this old man is going to be pulling at you all the days of your life. He's not going to give up. It says this in verse number 18. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He said this, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not." Paul said there was something inside of him that even when good was present, it said evil was there with him. I find that in my own life. This old flesh, I'm going to tell you, if you follow this flesh, it's going to let you down. Paul said, and in him, he said, "It dwelleth no good thing." He said this in verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do it, I would do that I would not. It is no more the I that do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me." You know what he said? He said there's a monster in him that's caged up. And there's a monster in each and every one of us. And it's called this flesh. And I'll tell you what if you begin to feed this flesh, and it begins, it's going to rear up on you. And I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to outweigh that new man that's within you. And you're going to follow the old man. You'll no longer be that creature that God has said, that had told you to follow that new man. You'll be the one that falls to the flesh. This closed excursion. The second passage I want us to look at, and we'll come back to all these. I want us to turn back over one more chapter to the book of John, chapter number 20. I want us to look at Mary. Talking about knowing not it was Jesus. We see that the disciples went out and they went fishing and they took not Jesus with him. I want you to look at this in John chapter number 20. Knowing not that it was Jesus. John chapter number 20, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It said, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." I want you to know that you may not know it was Jesus in a death experience as well. I want you to... Mary here was there. She was going to anoint the body of Jesus. In verse number 14, you'll find her that she went to the tomb. She didn't find him. You know, he got up. He'd risen. But you'll see that she knew not it was Jesus when he was standing right by her side. A lot of times in our life, there's things that are certain down here, and death is one of them, unless the Lord comes back. And I want you to know that when you're there and in a death experience, that Jesus is right there by your side. Yes. As I went to Brother Chris's mama's funeral yesterday, there was a blue book there that signed in. And you know how everybody writes something? They want to write something good. You know, and we're praying for you. You know, and I wanted to write something good as well. And this is what I wrote. I said, "Jesus is standing right there beside you." And I wanted him to know that. Jesus is right there. You want to know where Jesus is? He's where his child is. He's down at the funeral home. He's there at the hospital. He's there where his children are. He's there to make sure that you're going to, that he's going to be standing right there beside you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that stick it closer than a brother. And as I get older in my Christian walk, I can see how Jesus has stood right beside me all the way. I can never remember a time when Jesus wasn't there beside me. You know, as I look over my life, I'm not very old. I'm 31. I guess I'm old, but a lot of people say I am. But anyway, I'm glad Jesus is there's not. I got saved April 8, 1998, and I can't tell you a time that Jesus wasn't there right there beside me. And as I look back over my life and the automobile accidents that I've had, you know, and things like that, and I can see Jesus and all that, and I know He was right there by my side. But knowing not, it was Jesus in a death experience. Psalm 116:15 says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Jesus was giving Mary a little example of a death experience, and it was His own. She wanted to know that she could trust Him in death. She could trust Him. First of all, you'll see her out there at a dark tomb. Notice in verse number 1, it says, first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. There was a dark tomb there. We may be here today, and tomorrow we may be standing by a dark tomb. And God has told me to tell you this. He's right there by your side. He's going to be there no matter what. And this is what I wrote down. Even when you're experiencing a dark tomb, He is still the light of the world. He's still the light of the world. A lot of times we look at death as something that's dark and something that's... But I tell you, for a Christian, it's something that's glorious. The Bible said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Something that we count as dark, God said it's precious in His sight. For some of you, I've been able to experience some of your parents' funerals, some of your, you know, and some of the people in our church's funerals. I'm going to tell you what, God said it was precious in His sight. And don't ever forget that Jesus is standing right there beside you. In John chapter number 8, He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I'm glad that when we're experiencing a dark tomb, there's going to be dark tombs that's going to come your way, and you're not going to know what to do, and you're not going to know what to say, and you're not going to know which way to go, and you're going to need direction, and you're going to need somebody that's standing right beside you that can tell you the path that you need to take. And I'm going to tell you, when you're in the dark tomb, He's still the light of the world. Secondly in this, look in verse number 11 in this chapter. It said, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping." Not only in your death experience, you may experience a dark tomb. You may have some distraught tears. Mary was there weeping. She was the very lady that anointed and defeated Jesus. She was the very lady that was real close to Him. You can remember her over in the book of John, chapter number 11. Her brother, Lazarus, had died, and she knew all about Jesus. She knew about weeping. She knew about worship. And a lot of times we as church members, or we the people that are saved that are real close to Jesus, you know, we think we are, and then all of a sudden we look back and we say, "Where is God?" And He's standing right beside us, and we don't even know He's standing right beside us, and He's been there all the time. Yes. The distraught tears. This is what David said in Psalm chapter number 42 and verse number 3. He said, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" As you look on this world, they may ask you this question. David had that same question. I've had it all in my life sometimes. I said, "Where is God?" And the whole time He's standing right beside me, snuggled up to me. And I didn't even see Him. I didn't even notice Him. And we didn't let our circumstances bog us down so much that we didn't know He was standing right by our side. Distraught tears, He's standing there. There's something that always brings when I talk about tears in the Bible. There's a verse that always stands out to me. It's found in Psalm chapter number 56 and verse number 8. It says, "Thou tellest my wonders and my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" And I'm reminded of that verse over in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 8. And there's one of these days when the church is raptured out of here, and we're going to find ourselves, and He's going to break that ball of tears and the prayers, and it's going to be a sweet odor in His sight. And He's going to break those bottles, all those tears that you've cried. You may have cried tears over somebody to be saved. You may have cried tears over somebody who had died. You may have cried tears over somebody who's in the hospital. And one of these days, God is going to break that bottle open, and it's going to be a sweet odor unto Him. And we'll never know what, we'll never be able to imagine that. So don't ever be afraid to cry. I think a lot of times in these days that we live in, they see it as weakness to cry. Jesus, Bible said in John chapter number 11, verse number 35, said Jesus wept. Even the Lord Himself wept. And I'll tell you what, one of these days when you get to heaven and He breaks that bottle open and it's a sweet odor in His sight, all you can do is give praise unto Him and thank Him for all He's done in your life when that odor is broken up. Mary broke that alabaster box over there in worship in John chapter number 12, and it was a sweet odor, and the Bible said that that odor filled the house with that ointment, the smell of it. Our distraught tears. Don't ever forget those tears that you cry. They'll be remembered one day. And I wrote this down. I said, when you got distraught tears, don't forget there's coming a day He's going to wipe all the tears from your eyes. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 21, and verse number 4, it says this. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. One of these days, all those distraught tears you cried, God's going to wipe them straight from your face, never to be known anymore, because you're going to a land where there's no sorrow. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more distractions. There'll be no more disappointments. There'll be no more deception. There'll be no more discouragement. We live down here and we need God. We need His help. And we need He's got those distraught tears that you've cried in a bottle. He's going to break them open before you one day. Lastly here, I want us to look at one more thing. Mary was needing a desperate touch. And I wrote this down. When you're needing a desperate touch, don't forget He can reach to the lowest. She here in verse number 13 it says, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. She was looking for the body of Jesus, and she didn't know where they laid Him. Didn't know where they laid Him. She was needing a desperate touch. She'd come there to anoint Him. I want you to know this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then he said this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Don't think that you can't touch God. Don't ever think that. And don't ever let anybody tell you that your prayers can't move God. I know God's got a perfect will, and if His will is not for you to move Him, you won't move Him. But I'm telling you, God is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I remember Jonah. Remember him? He prayed for Nineveh, didn't he? And God was going to destroy that city, and the prayers of Jonah, he got right with God. He got spit out of the whale's mouth. And I tell you what he did, he prayed for that city, and God spared that city because that man had prayed for him. Don't ever think you can't touch God. Don't think He's not right there beside you. I'm telling you, in a death experience, He's right there beside you. But Mary found herself, she knew not it was Jesus, the very lady that was there with Him. The last thing I want to leave you with is not only do we see a disclosed excursion, we see a death experience, but lastly I want you to see it was a delicate ending. We read two different accounts of this verse that says, they knew not it was Jesus. We read one with Mary. We read one with the disciples. I want us to look at this delicate ending. And I noticed the two things that really stood out to me in both those passages of Scriptures. The first thing is they heard His voice. They heard His voice. Look down in chapter number 21 and verse number 5. There was a sound that come out. Jesus was standing on the shore. He was watching His disciples. Don't think He's not standing there watching you. Even though you didn't invite Him, you may have left Him on the shore, and you may not have known it was Him. But I'm going to tell you, He's standing there watching you. And this is what He said. He said, Jesus saith unto him, children, have ye any meat? And notice He called them children. And they answered Him, no. And He said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And here it is. Therefore the disciple that whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. You know what they did? They recognized His voice. When He said, children, have you any meat? I'm sure old John said, that's the Lord right there. And don't ever forget this. John turned over to Peter and he said, it's the Lord. A lot of times you may have a brother that's down, and he might need to know where Jesus is, and you need to go over and tell him, say, it's the Lord. He's right there beside you. A lot of times you might need to tell somebody that you know, or somebody in your family, or somebody that is close by you, that he's standing right by their side, even though they can't see him. A lot of times we're so bogged down in our circumstances, we may not see him. We may need somebody else to come to us and say, he's right there beside you. He's been beside you all the way, and he's going to carry you through. They knew his voice. It was the same voice that in Mark chapter number 4 and verse 39 that the disciples heard and said, peace be still. It was that same voice. It does good to listen to his voice. Mary's account of this. Look, turn back in John chapter number 20, verse number 16. It says, Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You know what Mary did? She recognized that voice. You know which voice that was? It was the same voice she had heard over in John chapter number 11. When two sisters had called for Jesus because their brother, who was sick in Bethany, had died and passed away. And it was that same voice that had cried this, Lazarus, come forth. Remember that? It was that same voice that said, Mary, called her name. Secondly, here they heard his voice, but lastly, they saw his visage. Look at Mary's, let's look at the disciples' account. Look back at John chapter number 21 and verse number 7. It said, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. You know what they did? When Jesus called their name, he said, children, have you any meat? I'm pretty sure those disciples looked over at him, and they saw him. They heard his voice, then they looked on him. It was that same Jesus that in Matthew chapter number 14, when that storm came upon the water, and Jesus went, the Bible said he went into a mountain apart to pray. It was that same Jesus that came walking in the fourth watch of the night on the water to him. It was the same one that they saw then. If you look at Mary's account in verse number 16, the Bible said there in John 20 and 16, it said, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You know which Jesus she saw? She saw that same Jesus that in John chapter number 12 and verse number 3, where she had got down and anointed his feet. And the Bible said she wiped her tears with washed his feet with her hair. It was that same Jesus that she saw. I want you to look at this verse, John chapter number 21 and verse number 12. So the disciples had finished their distant excursion here. They took Jesus, and Jesus had allowed them to cast from the right side of the ship, and they was able to draw a great multitude of fishes. And this is what it says in verse number 20, John 21, verse number 12. It says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And here it is, and none of the disciples dare ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. A lot of times in our life, we may not know Jesus is right there, and then Jesus brings us through something, and as we look back, we saw that it was him. In the very time while all that was boiling up around us, that we didn't know it was him, we didn't know that he was standing right beside us, as we look back on those things that happened in our life, those things that God had used us to draw us closer to him, you know what? We don't have to ask if it was him, because we knew it was him. And that's what these disciples said. They didn't, as Jesus made that great, cooked those fishes for those guys, for those disciples, and said, come and dine. He said this, that they didn't have to even guess who it was. They didn't have to second guess it. I want to leave you one more passage of Scripture as we close this morning. Turn over to Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 2. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia for Seba for thee. Here it is. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and go to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. I want you to know that in your distant excursion, he's right by your side. I want you to know that in your death experience, he's right by your side. In your delicate ending, he's right by your side. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. A lot of times through this life, you're going to experience some waters. You're going to experience some fire. You're going to experience some flood. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus is right by your side. No matter what you're going through, and it may need to be one of us to go up to a brother that's going through a fire, that's going through a flood, and tell him that he's not going to be burned. Why? Because Jesus is right by his side. And even though that brother may not be able to see Jesus standing right beside him, we need to tell him, say, he's right by your side all the way. And he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. That's all I got this morning. Y'all dismissed.